Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I remain positive, Chuck Mockler.
And we're a couple of best friends and Clipper-credentialed media people who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific.
On the dot, mostly, depending how your RSS feed works.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. But anyways, couldn't be happier to be here. We're coming to you on a high note. Just got done with the Clippers 111-106 win over the Pelicans.
Yes.
Some notable absences from this one, but we're still going to talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, overall how we're feeling. I mean, I think we like the threes most, but anyways.
Yeah, you know, not much else, but
TBD,
yeah.
more to come. And then today is Thursday. Every single Thursday we do a Thirsty Thursday. It's basically where we talk about who or what, you know, conceptual, personal thing we want to see more of.
It's all over the place.
And this one is really, truly all over the place. You're going to hear what we want more from Paul George, what we want more from player development, as well as just something as fans we kind of need to tighten the screws on maybe a little bit. And then in shavings, there was a small, minor, somewhat notable trade that happened in the NBA today. There could be some rippling effects. Who knows? Maybe. They say, you know, a butterfly flaps its wings or whatever. So we're going to talk about the implications for the Clippers. All that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so the Clippers did pull out the 111-106 win in Staples Center against the Pelicans, their first, I believe the first win streak of the year. I don't know. This was an interesting one. It started off a little ominously, just for me personally. Zion Williamson was ruled out at 12:30 due to health and safety protocols, which made this game feel a little weird to be played.
It felt like it was going to be the first domino to fall. We'd get maybe a couple more messages and then a game postponement.
Because it was an inconclusive result, so he was out, but the whole Pels team had been around him and apparently none of their results. Anyway, hopefully that story stops developing.
Yes.
The day you're listening to this. Lonzo and Bledsoe were out too, so the Pels had a bit of a odd starting lineup. They had Alexander Walker, who had himself a game. We're going to talk about. He had 37, which is insane. Sindarius Thornwell, shout out the former Clipper great. Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, and Steven Adams. But again, the Clippers got the win. Will, what did we like in this game?
I mean, just the big thing was the three-point shooting. This is kind of what kept us alive.
Yeah.
In this game, you know, we got some other stuff that I'm not gonna ruin the what we liked with that, but you know, we had 18 made threes, we took 37 attempts, which is, you know, inching up to where we want to be. That is still not top 10, you know, that's like 13 somewhere around there. Looked really good, really efficient from everybody. Obviously Batum was 3 of 7. Great. Paul George, 5 of 9 from three.
Which he would have taken three more, but we're going to talk about that in the next.
Which just leads into the other thing that we like. How did Paul George and Kawhi play in this one, buddy?
This was a 2-1-3 game, and I feel like we've seen more 2-1-3 games from like a cohesive effort already this season than all of last season.
That's a great call.
These 2-1-3 games are, if you're new to the show, 2-1-3 games are when Kawhi Leonard, number 2, and Paul George, number 13, play well, which is also an area code in Los Angeles.
It sounds
are new.
It sounds a lot lamer when you describe
it. It really does. But Kawhi had 28, 6, and 9. He had a huge fourth quarter to keep the Pels at bay when this game, we had an 18-point lead. This one got a little close. He had, I'm pretty sure he had 12 or 15 in the fourth quarter, 10 of 11 from the line. Paul George, 27 points, 6 boards, 6 assists. Just looked smooth as hell. Hit a buzzer at the end of the first half. Like, this was great. Kawhi looks like he's getting really close to 100%.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to absolutely destroy someone.
Melly.
I think it was Melly with a dunk that was like, oh, that kind of came out of nowhere. So that was great. But, you know, our superstars looked great.
Yeah, Kawhi, I mean, like, he's getting to his spots. You know, I feel like I keep saying that, but, like, he looks strong. He's finishing through the contact.
Great and one on Steven Adams.
Yeah, and the conditioning is looking better.
Better than last year, it feels like.
I had some mild concerns.
Yeah.
But thus far, it's been really, really good. Side note, thing that we liked also kind of bummed me out.
Yeah.
Pat Bev referred to Nikhil Alexander Walker post game as Shea's cousin.
Yeah.
which I
very I, cute.
I thought,
but maybe sad.
A very cute, also kind of a backhanded diss from
yeah,
Pat
right. Like
Beverly,
he just had 37
which,
points.
Which I love. So a lot of things to like about that. Just all wrapped up into one great line
for sure. And then just a couple other things real quick. Ty Lue was tinkering in this one. He brought Luke Kennard on earlier than usual for Patrick Beverly.
Yes.
Which means Pat Bev got more time with the second unit, which was really cool to see.
Yeah, I think that that's a crucial move towards a tighter playoff rotation. We'll see. I mean,
a
obviously,
real playoff rotation, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Lou will. We'll talk about that in the next segment, but his availability did, I'm sure, influence that rotation
sure.
as well. And then another thing he had in here, just the passing overall was incredible. 26 assists, 35 made shots. This is trending upwards. Like, this is, I don't know how much better it could be. I don't think that we need the point guard thing. So I think we
I don't
can,
think we do either.
I think we can maybe move on from that conversation. All right, what didn't we like in this one?
So the stagnant ball movement almost made this one. This one was a little too stressful given the personnel for the Pels and everything. Mm-hmm. But the ball movement got a little stagnant. The Pels defense in the third quarter kind of flummoxed us. Things were sticking. It wasn't working well.
Yeah, the third was a bit of a weird quarter.
But thankfully, you know, we got some superstar moments from Kawhi in the fourth, and PG, obviously, to kind of put us over the top, which was great. But it was a good mix of kind of that. And then the interior defense.
Yeah, so this one was really troubling to me. We got outscored 53-20 in the paint. We got out-rebounded. The final number was 53-40.
Yeah.
You know, I look, it's one game. They do have some big dudes.
Yeah. Part of it's shot selection, too, right? Like, they were just let it. Like, the Pels allow, I'm pretty sure, like 44 threes a game to be attempted or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, in terms of, like, getting outscored in the paint, totally. I mean, they had to score from somewhere. And, you know, like, we were shooting so efficiently from three, you know, there's less of a need to take the risk of those shots in the paint.
For sure.
But this has just been kind of an overarching thing. I do feel like there have been a lot of times where I haven't been that pleased with the look of the interior defense. Something to monitor, you know, just moving forward.
Yes.
And the rebounding, come on, man. Like, how often are we going to cough up, you know, like almost 20% more rebounds to another team?
Yeah, without their, like, one of their pillars of rebounding and interior presence.
Yeah, without missing one of the best offensive, with, you know, missing one of the best offensive rebounders in the league. Obviously, you still got Adams out there, but man, I don't know. And I'm looking at you, Zoo, too.
Well, Jackson Hayes, I was going to say, Jackson Hayes had 10 boards.
Yeah.
Which he didn't do a hell of a lot else, but he had 10 boards split evenly between offensive and defensive, which I think is a little troubling. It would have been interesting to see what the game plan kind of looked like with a fully healthy Pels team.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe, I'm hoping that played a part into it, just kind of the weirdness
yeah.
of who's on this Pels team right now. But overall, you know, like the Clippers grinded this one out, which was kind of annoying. There was a nice run in the second quarter. There was a great run in the third.
There was some little things that were irksome too, like final minute 30 of the game.
Ooh, Batum had a real bad foul too.
Yeah, real bad foul. The 3 second violation.
Yep.
Pat fought for a loose ball, which was great, but it did end up getting overturned into
yeah.
a foul. I mean, it's just like,
there's little things, which is good, right? Like, it's nice that the margins are getting a little cleaner, but there's still some work to be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will's got a flummox look on his face.
I mean, like, we talk about, yeah, whatever. We talk about encouraging losses. This isn't quite a discouraging win, but
this is a win. This is one I'm just like, this is a win.
Yeah, this is, I mean, yeah, this is your 9-to-5. You got to just kind of put your head down and
they
just
clocked in.
Yeah, you got to clock out.
It was weird. I'm sure the vibe was weird.
We can't pay you over 8 hours.
Yeah, I don't know what the vibe is after a player's ruled out after COVID too, how that makes the team feel.
Yeah, no idea. And this was the first game, notably, of the new NBA rules.
People are still high-fiving.
I saw a few too many tapping of hands
yeah.
out there.
Last thing, Lou Will hip issue. He only played 9 minutes, was listed as probable pregame, went 0-3. Ty Lue said his hip soreness postgame was kind of just not good enough. He was using those Theraguns that have taken NBA training by storm.
Makes sense.
But hope he's doing okay.
One Theragun does the work of 10 Swedish masseuses.
Yeah, there you go. So how are we feeling after this one? Just a 9-to-5 win. Let's move on to the Kings.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to read too much into this one, but
without Walker's greatest game ever, this is a lot different.
I know, but maybe Ingram doesn't have like has a normal game.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know.
For sure.
It's a win that, you know, we did work together.
Goes in the column.
It goes in the column.
I will say,
On to the next.
The defense was playing pretty well because Steven Adams was their leading assist disher. So on to the next one for sure. Speaking of on to the next, we're going to be doing Thirsty Thursday in just a couple of minutes. But first, we got to give a shout out to Headspace. Even in this new year, it is hard to start a new routine, as we all know, especially if you're like me and you've been working from home for the past forever, it feels like. But if you're one of the 34% of Americans who made a resolution to be less stressed, Headspace is here to help. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. It is the only meditation app advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So, whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? Headspace has wind-down sessions their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids. Tell you one thing, wish I would have done more meditation as a kid. Think it maybe would have helped a little bit.
Fun time.
Fun time. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. And after you do that, what do you do if you need new auto parts?
Hey, you got your head right. Now get your car right.
Hell yeah, dude.
With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, you got your Fiats, you got your Kias, Pacificas, XT5s. Whoa. It's head spinning. It's now impossible for any parts store to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure the often pointless, seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX? Is it an EX? Is it a PX? Is it an ED?
PDX?
And wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only brands his warehouse happens to carry.
Classic.
You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet.
Nice.
Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? It doesn't make any sense.
No damn sense.
Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Now that we're rocking our autos, we're talking Thirsty Thursdays, which are things we just want to see more of.
That's right.
From the Clippers, from everybody. We're going to start with the most relevant one, I think, that I think a lot of Clippers fans have been calling for.
What do you got?
Paul George needs to shoot more threes.
Wow.
And I'm not saying like 7 more threes a game. He's shooting 51%
yes.
on 8 threes a game this year. He took 8 threes a game last season.
Mm-hmm.
How much harder is it to get him 2 more looks from 3 per game? I think averaging 10 is entirely doable, and taking advantage of the efficiency right now, I think, makes a whole bunch. He can do it.
So,
like, he's not going to shoot 51% all year, obviously, but he's going to be near 40%.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm with you. I think that 10 is a great number for a shooter as efficient as George. He also has the size. It's a lot easier for him to get that shot off over guys. But I think there's a little bit of a sort of dual interest going on here.
Yeah.
Because I think in those games where he is less efficient, what's that toll on his confidence? And B,
fair.
Is he not better off using the infinite bag of tricks that he has?
It's not like
as an offensive piece. You know, he did voice some frustration last year. He voiced some frustration about feeling like a lot of his role was kind of spot up.
For sure.
You know, coming off curls, just doing that kind of stuff. And hey, he's really fucking good at it. So it makes sense to get him to those 10 attempts a game. So I do agree with you at that point. But it's like, it's just such a, he just has such a varied skill set that it's really difficult for me to pinpoint
because we also want him to get to the foul line more. Yeah, exactly. So it's this yeah, hard.
That's what I'm saying.
Pain.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I don't really want him to feel stymied, I suppose, in yeah. his game, because he is truly, I mean, the most versatile offensive piece that we have.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think what's nice is that because of the new Ty Lue system, he wouldn't be doing those things, right? Like, it wouldn't be like as much or feeling as bad about it like when Doc was doing it. Because there's like, that wasn't even part of a system what Doc was doing.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I think that, you know, more specific actions and just introducing a variety in his looks as yeah. well is kind of the key to getting him over that, you know, that sort of 8-10 hump, which truly, it doesn't seem like that.
It doesn't seem that much more, like, dude.
It really, truly does not seem like that much more. But, you know, obviously you got to watch the efficiency and everything. But all things being the same, I think 10, we talked about this last season too. I think 10 three-point attempts a game for George is a great number for him to be at.
Yeah.
But it just depends on the cost of what you're losing.
Everywhere else, kind of.
Everywhere else, totally.
Yeah, that's a good point. Totally. It's going to be interesting to see how that changes closer we get to playoffs too.
Yeah, and yeah. you brought up this one. We were talking about this a little bit before the game, but I think everyone out there is probably thirsty for more clarification on what exactly we mean when we're talking about player development. We've heard multiple things from yeah. the organization, but regardless of what you say, like regardless of what we're hearing from Lawrence yeah. Frank, we're hearing from blah, 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 you take a look at Fee, you take a look at Mann, you take a look at Oturu and Coffee.
Who was a like DNP tonight. He wasn't even rostered, yeah.
And I just got to wonder, where are we going, man?
Yeah, so 3-4, depending how you look at it, of those people we just mentioned are not anywhere really near to contribute to an NBA team.
Yeah, and not only
they're just
that,
not.
Not only that, we've given up extra assets to get these assets.
Yes, thankfully we're not talking about draft management right now. But how is this helping their development, right? Like last season, I mean, are they going to go into the G League bubble? I don't think Fee can't.
I don't think.
Because if not, it's just the same thing that happened to Mann and Fee last year, which is, well, mostly Mann. You come up, you practice with the first team the Clippers, which is valuable.
I think in general, I would say that that's a valuable experience. I think getting time, even practicing time with the best in the league.
Yeah.
Some of the best in the league.
For sure.
Is going to be good for you. It's going to be good for your development. But you're right. The other part of the other part of the Rubik's Cube or whatever it is.
Reps.
Is reps and time.
Fee's gotten like less than a minute of play in 4 of his 7 appearances this year. It's yes. like been like 54 seconds, 34 seconds.
Yes. And if you're not getting the reps at this level, which makes sense given the Clippers'
yeah,
goals
for
and,
sure.
you know, how our benches kind of look at times.
yeah.
But, you know, no G League reps and no NBA reps, like, so you're just basically practice squad.
And if Reggie Jackson's not getting time, which he kind of just seems out of the rotation right now in terms of significant minutes. Wasn't he a DNP against the Pels?
He's getting deep in the rotation.
I'm double checking, but
I think he's in that. Like,
he was a DNP. He didn't get any minutes. So if you're Terrence Mann and you're not getting time over Reggie Jackson, dude, you're like, this sucks for Terrence Mann.
Agreed.
I don't know. It's just, it's tough. And it's an indictment on the Clippers drafting, which I'm sure we'll dedicate an entire weekend of shows to at some point. But I hope they're getting the reps, you know? I hope Arturo's doing well in practice. Hope Fee's doing okay.
Yeah.
A couple more things real quick. Thirsty for everyone to get back into game shape. Mostly talking about Mook and Kennard. Kawhi looked like he was ramping up good, but these guys are getting, like, I mean, we don't know how, you know, Morris is still getting back healthy. Luke Kennard might have to play more given we don't know what's going to happen with the Lou Williams situation. And not to say that they're not on the right track, because it seems like they're looking pretty good. Kennard played 20 in the game against the Pels. But yeah, I just hope they're in better game shape. And then, finally, look, I was having a bit of day about this subject on Twitter.
What do you got, buddy?
We got to stop talking about trades for the Clippers until the deadline's closer.
But it's so enticing.
Man. And
no, I'm with you.
There's this idea that, like, you can just upgrade your team. You can just upgrade it with a trade, that any trade you want to do can happen. Like, the salary cap still exists. we have these 4 second rounds, which is great. The other team also has to agree to the trade. Like, mm-hmm. some of these ideas, it's like, people are like, we need to get someone who can play center better than Zoo, who can stop and match up with the other bigs in the Western Conference. And you're like, what? So we trade Zoo and a bunch of other players for, like, a really good center? I just don't understand where the hell we're going to go with any of it. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so I think that...
There's, like, the George Hill trade, which, like, sure, that's a rational trade idea. But then there's these things like, why don't we upgrade at this position?
I think a thing that... I mean, I have to contextualize for myself as a fan all the time is that, like, it's not fantasy basketball, and, like, I need to look at the pieces that we have, and, like, you're not looking for a name, you know? Like, you need to look for, like, the actual need that needs to get filled, yeah. you know? And it's kind of why I've even a little bit cooled on, like, the George Hill thing. I mean, depending on Lou's health and what ends up happening with the guard rotation on that second unit, but...
Good call.
A lot of things that I feel like the chatter was a lot louder about, you know, the volume's kind of been turned down as we kind of progress through this season. And, you know, there are deficiencies, as we talked about in our game preview or our game recap, as we've been talking about kind of all season. I see a lot more issues as being systematic, even though there have been a lot of systematic improvements.
Yeah.
Versus we need to be in, like, a talent
personnel wise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone
like,
was like,
personnel
we should...
is, like, so damn good. And we have, I mean, someone right now in Batum who is, like, over-exceeding their stock.
Yeah.
Like, at such an astronomically high level.
For sure.
I can't really even imagine, like, giving up too many, really almost any pieces right now, to be perfectly honest with you.
Someone told us we should trade Zubats for Thaddeus Young, and it was like, the salaries don't work. I'm like, well, then you throw in the salary that works, and you're like, you just look at the contracts. It doesn't work. Anyway, send us your trade ideas at Locked On Clips.
Yeah, send us your we say all that to say send us your trade ideas.
Go,
yeah,
right.
We'll take a look.
Coming up, we're gonna be talking James Harden getting out of the West and a possible trade idea that some Clippers fans want. But first, we gotta give a shout out to betonline.ag. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust to bet online, and that is betonline.ag. Some wacky playoff matchups this weekend.
Whoa.
I'm taking the Ravens over the Bills straight up. Can't tell me what to do.
Love it.
A lot of blowouts this season so far in the NBA. It's been a little goofy, so hope you figure that out. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That's the promo code LOCKEDON. You get half of what you put in at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, so we're back with Shavings, which, if you're new to the show, is where we wrap up everything else around the Clippers and the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden, out of the West.
Gone.
You missed it. He is now a member of the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, with him, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving for remains to be seen. But so, hey, James Harden's out of the West. That's good.
Yeah.
For us. Where are we at with the Rockets as a competitor for the Clips right now?
Nowhere.
They got Wall, they got Oladipo, they got Christian Wood. They've won 2 games up to this point. Wait, real quick sidebar. Is this the hardest first year for a first-year GM head coach pairing in the history of the NBA?
I mean, it's up there for sure.
This is a nightmare.
It's up there
for
sure.
It's a pandemic. The guy who Houston loved 2 days ago has completely ruined any legacy he had with the team and has forced you to trade him for probably less even maybe than you would have got for him before.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, shout out to Steven Silas, man. Like, this has got to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult situation. And I'm not saying that the Rockets can't turn this around because they still have, you know, they have some solid personnel. Oladipo, I'm curious to see what he can look like when he gets back into his form. Wall has impressed me despite them not really getting wins. He is looking like he's getting back into shape. But the thing is that it's like you said, it's just such a massive overhaul of a team to, like, I mean, look, I know he wasn't at training camp, but, and I know that there were mumblings in the organization. Like, you look at this deal. And this is not a deal to me that said everybody top down in the organization knew that James Harden was not going to be here this season.
Yeah, they did get 8 with the pick swaps. They have 8 unprotected first round picks.
Yeah,
so
yeah, totally.
That's good.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be super valuable. But I think, like, trying to reconfigure. I mean, it's not just some plays, man. It's the entire system.
Yeah,
it's like the entire offense of what they were. And, you know, it would be cool to see them, like, claw into a playoff spot. Right now, I'm not super seeing it, but I don't know. Hit me over a head in, you know, 15 games if I'm wrong about this.
Also, I don't know if he's listening. Shout out to Kenneth, guy we used to talk basketball with on our way down to the South Bay.
Oh, man.
Every day. Hope Shout you're doing well, Kenneth.
Yeah.
Hope you're having a good one. But so, because of this trade, some Clippers fans have been discussing maybe the Rockets are going to move on from P.J. Tucker.
Okay.
Apparently, they fielded a couple calls for
P.J. Tucker.
You
said no more trades? Let's talk trades.
We're talking trades, baby. This is a sports show, so we
sell.
Have to talk
no
it.
Sell. Yeah. Sell.
But so, I don't think it makes... I was kind of on board with the trade for P.J. Tucker thing like a couple weeks ago.
It is.
Full disclosure, I don't know how time moves anymore. So, but it doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's an
with how we'd have to do it.
Totally. Yeah. It's an enticing piece, but like...
Fits the Clips kind of... like vibe right now, obviously is going to help whatever contender ends up trading for him.
It's just difficult to me because now we have Morris coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And you already got Zoo, who, I mean, has had a little bit of up and down play, a little bit of trouble adjusting to his role, but still very, very solid. And then I don't super know.
Our 3-4-5 on the bench is going to be Morris, Tucker, and Zoo, and no one can get them off the low block.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it sounds interesting. I don't know.
He's versatile.
He's a player that I've liked for I've enjoyed his play for a long time. So,
but so to get him,
what do you got?
It would have like for salaries, because this is a crazy thing, but you still have to worry about salaries when you do trades in the NBA. Lou for Tucker works straight up.
Okay.
But if we lose a guard.
Can we lose a guard right now?
I don't think so. The other idea is Zoo plus Terrence Mann, which I just don't think they do.
I think that...
there's no value in either of those players compared to P.J. Tucker. And now the Clippers are down. They gained one wing who can play small ball center, giving up the backup center. And Terrence Mann is not getting any minutes. But like... it just doesn't, like, because we still can only roster 14 guys. It just doesn't, none of them feel like something where if this trade happened, people would be like, oh, hell yeah.
I mean, if I'm the Rockets and you offered me a young center making $8 million a year and an asset I can do whatever with, I got to be honest, man. I think there'd be a couple of.
Picking
up the phone.
And there'd be a couple of Detroit second rounders in here.
I'm definitely picking. You thinking second rounders and Zoo?
Maybe one. Because the Rockets want that, right? Like they're in weird rebuild mode. So I think they probably ask for two, and then Ballmer's like one, and they're like, okay.
I mean, if I'm the Rockets, I find this deal to be enticing.
Yes. As the Clippers, though, I'm like, dude, I don't know. We can't lose Zoo.
We can't lose the only traditional size center that we had.
We have two rim protectors right now. We've never had that.
and we just kind of, I don't know, we just have so many of these, like, big wings kind of guys.
Horrible restaurant.
Big wings out here. Are they still open? Man, I hope they're doing okay through all this.
I hope they're not, dude. Here's a funny first time in LA story. I was a busser at Umami Burger at the Grove. And a coworker who was like a dude who was much older than me, who I remember being like, why are you just a busser? No disrespect for just being a busser. This was a dude, though, who told me he was going to wear flame-printed Vans to the Academy Awards when he won Best Actor.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about someone who was like, I need this job because this is the only job I get. I'm talking about someone who was like delusional. He was like, hey, do you want to watch some football before the shift? I was like, yeah. So he's like, let's go to Big Wings. And I'm an idiot. I don't know what that is. So I was like, yeah, it sounds great. We get there. Just to reiterate, I'm a busser. He's a busser. We're not balling out here. And then, you know, we get some wings. He has like four beers before shift, which I was like, this seems interesting.
Cool guy, man.
Obviously, he drove us to work afterwards. But then at the end of the thing, he goes, do you mind getting this? Just made me pay. I didn't know this guy. Big Wing sucks for that reason.
That's not their fault.
It's their fault.
You should have gone on. There used to be like a.
They shouldn't have let him in. Which just said, this guy looks like a weirdo.
What are your views on patterned vans at the Academy Awards?
They're like, do you think you're going to win an Academy Award? If anyone is like, I'm going to win an Academy Award, and you're working at Umami, I hope you do, but I don't think it's going to happen. Real quick before we close this out.
That was grim. I don't like that.
I say it real quick. Like, we're closing out on a high note. How sweet would it be if Paul George won MVP this season?
Oh.
What if he shoots 50-40-90? And just averages like 27-6-6, and the Clippers are the one seed.
I still just feel like he's going to be in the conversation. He's going to be a guy who's in the conversation.
I would love it.
I would love it too.
Seems doable. No one seems to care that Kawhi Leonard is passing better than he ever has in his career, so it seems like Paul George might be able to overtake him in the MVP standings.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm never going to stop mentioning the fact that Kawhi is averaging, I think, 1.5 maybe more assists per game than last year, which was his career high.
Yeah,
he had 9 assists again against the Pels.
Yeah,
he's done that twice so far this season.
I mean, his career high is 10. He's already hit it this season.
I just no love,
no love, man.
This is what happens when you take the damn billboards down. The billboards should just say Kawhi. The billboards, you know how there's that very.
Have you looked at Kawhi's assist numbers? Not even. It shouldn't even list the stat.
Yeah, you know how there's that depressing like U.S. debt meter or whatever in Times Square.
Or, I mean, I grew up in Montana, and there's always the highway deaths that have happened.
Oh, yeah.
That year.
We need to do that with Kawhi's assists per game, just like these are Kawhi Leonard's assists per game. It changes very infrequently. Anyway, we're going to be talking a lot more trades on tomorrow's episode. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. This one got real fun towards the end of it. Again, one more time, shout out to Kenneth.
Yeah.
Hope he's doing good. Friday's episode. Weekend preview of the Clippers games that hopefully take place, given COVID stuff. If Zion tests positive, I don't know what the hell's going to happen with these next two Clippers games.
Hey, we're looking. I think things are going to go great.
Hell yeah, baby. They have so far for the Clippers.
Not tapping hands.
No tap hands. Weekend preview of the Clippers games versus the Kings and the Pacers, which should be interesting. Not two pushover teams.
No.
A love, marry, quarantine. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Thank you guys so much for listening to us. We're second in the Western Conference, which is great.
Good stuff. 8-4. I mean, come on.
What do you want us to do? Where can these people listen to us or tell people to listen to us?
You can yourself listen to us. You can tell people to listen to us. You can...
Respectfully.
Respectfully. Screaming at them. I don't know. Do it like the Kawhi assist sign.
Yeah.
But listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. If you like what you're hearing, hey, maybe leave a review. Doesn't cost anything, you know?
It's free. Again, thank y'all so much. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.